Yes? Okay. So, for you who are listening, if you are looking for our service online, well, we have some technical difficulties, so we couldn't get the video up, but we do have this audio for you. We appreciate you looking for us, and we appreciate you finding the audio. Now, last week, I started a little series of messages on Asking Adonai. So this is Asking Adonai Part 2. And I covered during that first session the structure of a complete prayer, which you may remember was praise, confession, asking, worshiping, and then listening to Adonai. Then getting into the subject of the asking of Adonai, I went into the who and the why. The who is everyone you should be asking Adonai. We saw that in Psalm 145. However, those prayers that were answered are from those who were bowed down to Him and are prayers that are aligned with Him. Then I asked, why should we pray to Adonai? And there are a few reasons to pray to Adonai. We saw from Matthew 7 where Yeshua says we're to ask, seek, and knock. And we don't have because we don't ask. That was backed up by James 4:1 that also said we don't have because we don't ask. But James takes it a little bit further even. He expanded the idea that we needed to ask in alignment with Adonai's desires for him. And then from 1 John 5, I said that we are to ask because we should have confidence in our prayers. And finally, from Jeremiah 33, we saw that we ask because we know that he wants to be generous to us. And we saw that we ask because we know that he wants us to pray and ask in truth, meaning his ways and the things that are to happen should be his ways. And we ask not just for things, but mostly we ask, I think we should be asking for knowledge of who he is. And not so that we can hoard it ourselves, but so that we can spread it for others to know that he is Adonai, the God over all other gods, those false gods. So this week we continue on our looking at asking Adonai. First with the question of when should we ask of Adonai? And I think we probably all know the answer, but let's look at 1 Chronicles 16. Now, I don't have my clicker, so there we go. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says this, "Seek Adonai and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his signs and judgments of his mouth. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Adonai our God. His judgments are in all the earth." We are to seek his face and pray to him always for his strength and his wisdom and protections and provisions. It says that his judgments are in all the world. And what does that mean to us? If we're in right standing with him, then the judgments will not be on us, but on those against us, who come against us, who come against him. But it is when we are not aligned correctly, then that judgment can be against us. But as we see by the example of David, who time and time again both sinned and repented and turned back to Adonai after each time he sinned. So we must, in order not to be judged too harshly or for all eternity, we must turn back to him each time. And of course, we are to seek him out and pray for strength and discernment and wisdom all the time from him. There is not a time that we should stop asking for strength and wisdom from him. But there will be times in each of our lives that we're attacked in such a way by Satan that we have our eyes removed from him. They're moved because of the attacks. There'll be times that the battle becomes so hard and so fierce that we forget what we know about him and what we should be doing. That's why we store up his word in our hearts and in our minds. It's also why we have a congregational family that we try to keep around us to remind us when we need that reminding, when we forget what we know already. When the battle is at its peak, and maybe you don't even know what's happening to you, this is what happened in Romans 8. Romans 8:26, it says this: in the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Keshavim according to the will of God. Sometimes we're in the battle and we know the things to do is to pray and ask and seek Adonai. We seek him for strength and for the victory, even when it's out of sight. Even when we don't understand where it could possibly come from or how the situation could turn around. But there are other times that the words don't even come to us. We can be in such distress or agony that we can only groan. David knew this. He knew that kind of pain and we see that in Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, verse 2, starting there, it says, hear my words, Adonai. Consider my groaning. Listen to the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to you, Adonai. In the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I order my prayers before you and watch expectantly. David was in just that kind of a situation. You would think that a man like King David would always know the words to pray. But there are times that we only know the trouble and not the words to describe them, or even what to ask in order to get out of this trouble. The mercies of Adonai are that he does not need us to understand what's going on, only our dependence upon him. He doesn't need us to describe the situation. He already knows it. He doesn't need us to tell him what we need to have done. He already knows that as well. But Psalm 5 does tell us more about when we're to pray and ask. This scripture says, excuse me, this scripture says, pray in the morning. That's a very good word for any of us. But what do you do if you're not a morning person? Does that mean you miss out your time to pray to him? I've heard people go through just so many different crazy things in order to stay awake in the morning to pray. I heard this one who supposedly was very strong in the Lord, he would stand on the edge of a bathtub. So he had to balance himself in order not to fall, to stay awake. I'd say that it's good to pray in the morning, but it's better to pray when you can have your full attention on him, not when we're fighting. I just don't think when we're fighting to stay awake that you can put your full attention on him. Now, the word used there in the scripture for morning is boker, as in boker tov, which is good morning. Boker could mean daybreak or sunrise, or it could also mean the beginning of the day. I got to tell you, my day really doesn't start until after that first cup of coffee and after I have some time to get my wits about me. Because does Adonai really want to hear my witless prayers? I think I need to be put together and brought to, you know, and be ready to pray. The imagery that I believe the psalmist is drawing on is that before you start the day or start the work of the day, turn to him for guidance. Ask him what it is he wants from you and what it is you should be expecting from him. Both of these are great questions of Adonai. We really don't want to go forward without him and without the wisdom of his in what will happen and how we are to react. We need to ask him before we get into the situation and before we need that help. Because what situation is there that we don't need him within it with us? For different people, there are going to be different times to enter into that prayer closet. That's the best time for them to pray to Adonai and to ask of Adonai. Now, I know when I was working full-time in a secular job, I'd be in the car driving before I was awake. Luckily, the car knew the way to the job. Thankfully, the car knew. But I was able to put myself fully into prayer at lunchtime. It was the best time for me to pray and ask of Adonai. Before work, too tired. After work, I'm not only tired, now I've got things I've got to do. But at lunchtime, I was able to fully focus on his word, both in scripture and trying to listen to what he had to say to me. We all will have a different sweet spot of time for our prayer. That's when our prayer life will flourish. The most important thing is to find your sweet spot for prayer and not neglect your prayer life. If I was to be asked when's the best time to pray would be, I would say before you do anything. But I also say that perhaps even more important than the specific time is when you can focus on him. Pray daily, pray focused, and pray expectingly that he will be with you through the Ruach HaKodesh. An unfocused prayer, because you're in the midst of the battle, is different when you run to him for all you can get from him. You can seem a little unfocused, but that's okay. But an unfocused prayer because you're too tired to focus, that's something you can manage. That's something you can move the time around to avoid being, so overly tired that you can focus on him. One of the things that we can pray for before the battle is not to become unfocused. That we don't lose sight of who he is or who we are in him. There will be times that the world will try to press in very hard, wanting to make you lose that focus. But this really is the time to focus even more, to press in even more. We read in Daniel of a time that he could have lost focus. We see when Satan presented a time of trouble and then doubled down on him. We'll see that when the first didn't move him from his focus, that there was that second hit from Satan to move him from his dependence and his focus on God. Now, most of you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was not shown favor from the other politicians and leaders of the kingdom, and they wanted to get him out of the way. So they kind of went to the king and buttered him up a little bit. And they suggested to him that anyone who does not pray only to the king for the next 30 days should be thrown into the lion's den for death. We read about Daniel's reaction to this decree in Daniel 6. Daniel 6:11 says this. Now when Daniel learned that a written decree had been issued, he went into the house, he went to his house, where the windows in his upper room opened to Jerusalem. Three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before God, just as he did before. It was Daniel's habit to pray three times a day at this window facing Jerusalem. When Daniel learned of the efforts to stop the prayers to the only true God, when they were attacking him, trying to harm him personally, that is when he pressed in even more to his prayers. We should learn from that. We are not to lose our faith in who Adonai is and what he can do. Just as the telling earlier in Daniel 3 of the three men who are thrown into the furnace, they didn't give up on their faith. Even in the face of battle, even as they stepped or were thrown into the furnace, and we shouldn't either. Just like for these three Hebrew children of God who did not give up in the face of man's punishment, so for Daniel, he did not either when Satan pressed even further by applying the decree against him so that he wouldn't be harmed. Daniel prayed both before and during the battle. We see this also in Nehemiah. As he was working to rebuild Jerusalem, there was great pressure placed against him to try to prevent the work on Jerusalem to proceed. Nehemiah 4:1 says this, starting in verse 4 of Nehemiah 4:1. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that restoration of the walls of Jerusalem was proceeding and that the breaches had begun to be closed, they became very angry. They all conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and stationed a guard against them day and night. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the people of Ashdod, five different peoples came against the rebuilding of Jerusalem. there was great pressure to stop the restoration of the walls. But Adonai was not going to allow it. And Nehemiah knew what to do. When the battle was approaching, even as fear was pressing in, they went to prayer and they readied themselves through being built up by prayer. And the plan that Adonai gave to Nehemiah. Listen to what happened when they prayed, when they went to prayer. And then what they did. So Nehemiah 4:9. Now when our enemies heard that their plan was known to us and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half my men were doing the work, while half of them took hold of the spear, shields, bows, and breastplates. And the leaders were behind the entire house of Judah. Those building the wall and those bearing heavy burdens kept one hand on the work and the other holding a weapon. So each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while they were building. And the shofar blower was beside me. Now, of course, the shofar blower was there to blow the alarm so that they would all come to where the battle was. It was God who frustrated and stopped the plans of the enemy. But then they did something else as well. They kept working at the same time that they were ready to fight. Each one, even those bearing heavy burdens of the construction work, kept one hand on the sword. That means regardless what they were doing, they had the sword with them, ready to fight. Always ready, always expecting. Our sword is the word of Adonai, and we are to have it on at the ready as well. So the answer to when are we to ask Adonai in prayer is always, but perhaps especially when we are either in the battle or getting ready to get into the battle. So now moving on, so far we had who is to ask and also why are they to ask. And today I just spoke on when they are to ask. Now we move to where to ask of Adonai. We know that Adonai said that sacrifices were only to be done at the temple based on his word in Deuteronomy 12, verse 13 says this: be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings in any place you see. Rather, do so only in the place Adonai chooses in one of your tribes. There are you to offer your burnt offerings, and there are you to do all I am commanding you. He says to only offer your blood sacrifices at the temple. But that's not the same as praying, obviously. Then where is it that God wants us to pray and to ask of him? Look what we're told in 1 Timothy, where Shaul tells him and us that he was sent to tell the truth about who God is. And it says this in 1 Timothy 2:8. So I desire all men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without anger and argument. The location of the prayer is not really as important as the heart of the one speaking the prayer. Lift up holy hands, which can only be done if the heart is holy first. He's really saying that if the place of the prayer was important, then there would still be a temple to pray and offer sacrifices. Instead, he insists that it is the person's heart that is more important than the location. There are very many examples of prayers in Scripture that were seen as being said outside the presence of the temple. And today, the continuation of them is still going on. A lot of prayers, no temple. We are what is important about our prayers, not the place. We are the holy and righteous, not the location. Now, that's not to say the location of the temple in biblical times was not important. It was. Otherwise, he would not have started that sacrifice. He would not have stated that sacrifices were only be done at the temple. But we also know that the work of the temple is still alive in us. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 16. Don't you know that you are God's temple and that the Ruach Elohim dwells among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are the temple. The prayers that we say are like offerings for Adonai. In fact, David, when he was in danger and running, wrote Psalm 141. Psalm 141, the first two verses say this. It's a psalm of David. Adonai, I call on you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Biblical scholars don't agree if he was running from Saul or Absalom, his son. But he was out in the wild. He was feeling the pressure of the enemy coming towards him. When he prayed this to Adonai, nowhere near the temple, but near to Adonai. Unable to burn a sacrifice, but was able to sacrifice with his prayers and his lifting of hands. What is it that you think of when you lift your hands in the sanctuary during praise and worship or during prayers? Do you realize there that's there a sacrifice? This is what it is. Doesn't matter where you're offering your praise, where you're offering your prayer, where your supplication towards Adonai. When we lift up our hands, it shouldn't be everyone else is doing it. I think I should too. Know what you're doing. Sacrificing to Adonai with lifted hands. It's not a meaningless gesture. It's a sacrifice to Adonai. Now, last week, we read from Jeremiah 33 when he was in captivity that he prayed and asked of Adonai. Even in captivity, we can ask of Adonai. And I would say even if he placed us there because of our sins, and perhaps especially if he placed us in a place because of our sins, we can cry out to him. We read this in Jeremiah 29 when talking to Israel and encouraging them to turn back to their God after sinning. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Even after all your sinning, even after you're exiled into a foreign land, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives into exile. Regardless where or even why you are in the place that you are, when you turn back to him, he will hear. When you ask of him, he's listening. The important thing is that you are aligned with him and not aligned with the environment that you're in and so that's surrounding you. When you turn from the ways of the world and ask of him, when you turn from the world and become aligned with him, things will happen. Some of you are old enough to remember tuning your car and it had the timing and you turned the distributor cap until the thing pointed to the right way and they lined up because that's when the car ran smoothly. When you turn back to Adonai and align with him, that's when things will start running smoothly. So from the steps of all those five ways to pray, the five steps of how to pray, I popped out the step of asking Adonai as our focus last week, this week, and next week. So far we reviewed who and why to pray. That was last week. And when and where to pray. This week we went over that. Next week we'll finish with the questions of what to ask Adonai. And perhaps most importantly, how to ask Adonai. Father, we thank you that you listen when we turn to you and ask of you. That regardless where we are, and regardless of how we got there, you will hear us when we turn back to you, when we humble ourselves and pray, when we recognize our sin, confess them, turn to you, and lift up our hands to you in prayer. We know that you will listen to us. We thank you that you are a faithful God and your desire truly is to bless all you've created. Ruach, help us to remove everything and anything that is in the way of our relationship with you. We thank you and praise you, and everyone said, amen and amen.